This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
In this series that we've been doing, I've had encouraging you about perspective on how we look at things. And the aim is to understand and appreciate that we all see true things from our view, but the whole truth is probably discerned from us all. And I showed you a picture last week that helped illustrate that. And the end result ought to be that we hope to become more compassionate about the trials of others. And I have a photo to help you with this. The next clip is what we're on about today. Now, I want to start off by saying that I absolutely agree with every word that Andre said about miracles. Miracles are not for our entertainment, and they're not to give proof to ourselves or of ourselves in any way. But God uses them, and they tend to startle sleepy people into the veracity of your word and claim upon their life, as somebody's brother is starting to experience. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, that's the scripture that should be underlined in your Bibles. And that page should be so thumbed that you're starting to think about getting a new Bible just so you can do it all over again. And I'm glad to see that you've brought your Bibles with you this morning. The text I want to use for today is actually from Romans 8, that section of scripture, and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So who are the sons of God? They are, yeah. Which ones? Those ones. Who? The ones being led by the Spirit. When folk desperately want a miracle in their life, desperately want God's intervention, they'll hold on to many things. Folk cling to previously unopened Bibles. They'll even wipe the dust off them. They will cling to rosary beads, the crosses they wear, statues, religious ceremonies and rituals. They hold on to even untrue phrases that don't appear in the Bible, but they think they come from the Word, but they've never checked it out. They hang on to pictures of bleeding hearts. They can grip them so hard that they can bend or break that object in which they're placing their faith. You and I need to hold on to God alone and have your faith in him alone. He's unbreakable no matter what the pressure. And if you're holding on to him, so are you. One of the best examples of hanging on to something in faith I found in recent years was that account of the little girl in a Queensland town clinging to an umbrella. She was the only one in the whole district who came to the prayer meeting for rain to break the drought who brought an umbrella with her. The only one. That was her faith. Do we have faith for our miracles like that little girl? Ask your neighbour, do you expect a miracle? Don't be shy. Ask them. Put them on the spot. Do you expect God to answer our prayers or your prayers supernaturally? Do you believe our God is the God of the impossible? Yes. Do you have any expectation at all that God is going to surprise everyone here with his acts of power through this ministry, that's you folk, and this church? Yes. Are you dissatisfied with the current level of results we're experiencing in answer to our prayers and for the supernatural healings, provisions, and miracles that we seek? Yeah. We've seen some awesome things. I'm not saying that God's not active or work. We have seen some incredible things happen, particularly in this last year or two in this place, but over the years as well. So many testimonies of God's miracles. but I don't live in the past, and I don't sustain myself on other people's experiences. I'm here in the present, and I want fresh, new, now acts of God as we face our circumstances and our futures. The past encourages me, but today and tomorrow motivate me because we are moving forward with God now. So turn to your neighbor again and say, do you have a serious passion for miracles? I hope those giggles are affirmations and not nervous hesitations. I believe that there is a hunger in the body of Christ for authentic miracles to take place in our homes, our schools, our churches, and not just in some oversized stadium thousands of kilometers away in South America, Africa, Russia, Mexico, Asia. We can have it here. What about Mombok? What about Mombok Christian Fellowship here in the Yarra Ranges? What about this very morning in this very place? Turn to your neighbor on the left. What about miracles at your place? Okay, turn to the neighbor on your right if you didn't get much there and say, what about at my place? Well, I desire, and I suspect you do as well, to see miracles as regular occurrences abound in my life and this church, not just in some famous evangelist or pastor's life. We cannot afford to dismiss what seems to me to be the evident discrepancy between our theology and our actual experience. And some say, oh, well, shrug of the shoulder, she'll be right, mate. Well, she's not right, mate. Turn to your name and say, he's talking to you now. It's just not good enough to say, well, we can't seem to figure it out, so let's just get along with life in the natural or worse. We've not had it for so long, let's just get on without it. Well, I can't buy that, and I don't want to cripple my faith, whatever measure I have, by repeating or suggesting that sort of rubbish into my belief system. Turn to your name and say, he's talking to me now. We as believers have got to stand on the Word of God. We have to stand on it for our families, for our church, for our nation, and for ourselves, because truth is found in the Word of God. It's not found in our feelings. It's not found in our emotions. It's not found in our experiences or our traditions. It doesn't drop into your head without effort to search it out. You may well say, well, I get nothing out of a certain message. But how much effort have you put into receiving that message for yourself rather than the person sitting next to you? I believe in the God of the impossible. How about you? The Word of God is clear as crystal. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, Hebrews 13:8. The Holy Spirit is still working his miracles in our world. God has something prepared for me that is good. He has something prepared for you that is good. He has something prepared for this church, which is awesome. Because this is the body of Christ. Miracles are life-changing. And I'm going to continue to believe with every fiber in my body that his miracles are on their way for me, for the ministry, for the church, for you. My faith is not shattered because God may not come through for me in the way I have asked or demanded or expected. My God is sovereign. His word is true. And I trust my God. I don't trust my approach. I don't trust my hopes. I trust God. And sometimes he says, no. And when God says no, I've got to tell you, that's a complete sentence. It's no. Sometimes he says, wait, because he's ordering things to bring the best results. And sometimes he says, now. We're not after miracles to tickle our fancy. We don't need evidence of God. We have it. And God's not going to prove himself to us. The cross did that 2,000 years ago. Your salvation is that evidence. The Holy Spirit in your life is that evidence. Lynn and I wouldn't have started Heartbeat all those 20 years ago if we didn't firmly and unequivocally believe that miracles have already left the throne of God and would intercept us at the right time, in the right place, and for all the right reasons. And one of those reasons is that we believe faithfully for them, even if others won't, didn't, or don't. I believe in a God of miracles. Miracles are going to overcome us, overwhelm us, and happen all about us, because God has given us all those spiritual gifts. We're not short one of them, and because we have more than nine folk here, we can see that we probably have multiple expressions of those gifts, of every gift. Use them. Believe in his word and see the results. Give expression to them and manifest those miracles before our very eyes. So I'm challenging us to change our mindset regarding miracles to a mindset of faith, not the status quo. To renew that faith that God is at work and he intervenes supernaturally. Christians say we have faith, but the evidence I see over the years is nearly always people relying on their own efforts or someone else's faith. People relying on their own means or someone else's means. Leaning on their own understandings, compromising the things they once said they believed in by trying to work it out themselves. Some of us have to stop going our own way and pretending it's the Lord's will. Trying to bring God's promises into reality by one's own efforts is counterproductive and it stalls our progress. All that such folk accomplish is the busting of their guts, getting wearied and tired, postponing the day of their miracle through lack of belief and lack of patience. And God says, just believe. Just believe. Believe it is possible. Believe God has a miracle for you. Believe it's on its way. Open your heart, your hands, and your eyes. In one church that Lynn and I pastored, I knew of someone who had a word of prophecy that finances would be released to them. They then found out that they were going to be made redundant. So they started believing that prophecy very much. But they only believed for a certain amount and that Jesus would just meet the needs that they had. And as circumstances clarified in the goodness of time, the result was that God actually provided many times their needs. And instead of getting a few weeks payout, they got over 2 years' salary. I know someone else that got a miracle of finance that they weren't even expecting. Our church in Croydon received overnight an answer to prayer about finances just overnight. We had a problem on Sunday. The elders prayed. The problem was solved Monday morning. Someone just came up and said, God's told me you've got a financial need. I'm here. How much do you want? And he wrote out a check there and then on the spot. That's the God I know. We know of someone that we were asked to pray for, lay hands on them for a healing from cancer, and I spoke to you this a couple of weeks ago, and that happened. Miracles are there for the having if we would just believe in faith. They are destined to happen to you, in you, and through you. But they're God's miracles and not yours and not mine. I know another church that just built an incredible worship building on 5 acres of land for the Lord, debt-free. And at that time, the Lord, through the Australian Parliament, decided to shift the 21st Construction Squadron to Darwin. And so the army chaplain said, I can't have all these men sitting around here for a couple of weeks doing nothing. Let's build your church for you. And the government actually built our church debt-free. God is ready to work miracles through any person who has a heart to believe in God's unlimited power and unlimited possibilities. And when I look at all the miracles that I've seen since Jesus came, it seems to me that God could have done any of those things without anybody's being involved, but somehow he always wants to use his church, his body, his people. The caution has to be, it has to be according to his will and not our wish. Sometimes God gives us the request of our hearts and the desires of our lips, and he lovingly will do that. But most of these will happen because it's in the purpose and plan of God. The caution is not according to your wish, but according to your faith. So turn to the person next to you and say, you're that person. You're that person. Miracles can happen instantaneously. Sometimes they're a work in process and progress. Whatever the timing, we are to walk our walk believing, expecting, waiting for those miracles to manifest and walking in the miraculous. There are miracles in progress right now if you have the ear and the eye to see and hear them, coupled with a heart to believe for them. Lynn and I observe so often that a miracle on its way will encounter fences of fear, ditches of doubt, walls of the wobblies, ramparts of resistance, diversions of delays and catastrophes of adverse circumstances. Don't be dismayed in the fiery trial. Don't be dismayed by the attacks of the enemy. They're just diversions to cause your faith to sink. God is faithful. God has never lied. God cannot lie. Stand on his word, stand in his truth, not on what others say, not on what others do. And for heaven's sake, never trust your emotions or your feelings. They are totally unreliable. We have them. God's put them in us, but we don't trust them. Don't trust your mind. You know, those of you that have tried diets before, you know what it's like, how awful your mind is. No, you cannot have that piece of chocolate cake. No, no, you are on a diet. No, no, no. And you're thinking, so good, excellent. And you lose a couple of kilos. And then that same mind says, oh, why not reward yourself with a piece of chocolate cake? And you take it, and then your mind says, see, no strength of will in you at all. See, you've let yourself down straight away. Don't trust your mind. The word is your only sure foundation. Albert Einstein said, there are two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. Everything. You know, where I've come from, where Lynn's come from, to being here today, to be sharing this word with you, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. God is just awesome. And God has unlimited miracles, abundant, full, and ready to be unleashed into your life and mine. But unbelief is what hinders the miraculous. God, Mark 6, 5 to 6. Listen to how unbelief can restrict even the Lord. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. In the opening verses of that chapter, we read of the present hatred and rejection of those who had once enjoyed the rich privilege of being the neighbors and associates of our Lord Jesus Christ in Nazareth from his earliest days. These were people that saw him grow up. These were the people who kept saying to Mary, what is it about your son? Wow, you know, these are people that saw what was happening. But they despised the anointing of God upon him. They despised the confidence that Jesus had in who he was. They despised the naturalness of his command of the scriptures in their very own synagogue. And they despised the miracles worked at his hand. And they, like many today, couldn't discern the divine God in the human Jesus. And there are many folk out there who don't notice the divine when things miraculously happen around them from folk like you and I. They couldn't see the heavenly man under the earthly veil. And their own Savior was therefore driven from their own towns, and so he goes about among distant villages in order to spread the good news as far as possible. Thank God for that, otherwise we in Australia would never have got it. The Lord is still in his church through the Holy Spirit, but in some places his power is limited and neutralized by unbelief. So as a church, let's not be guilty of that. Let's always be open to God doing what he does. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Good word for your brother there. It seems that God's got his hand on him. I don't think he's going to escape. I choose to live my life with that sort of simplicity. For some reason, God chose me. And the only part I had to play in that was the brains to say yes, to accept. The disciples were started on their missions in Mark 6, verse 7, whereby they were sent out with that sort of simplicity. I've chosen you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, fruit that lasts. He sent them out two by two with nothing. And they went and they spoke with such authority, and miracles happened. Simplicity and power are closely allied. The truly strong Christian soul has no need of the external glitter, the surroundings, the circumstances in which others lean for religious support. In proportion to our willingness to deprive ourselves of the sources of human confidence, may we lay hold on and possess his divine power. Unbelief stopped the flow of even Jesus' ministry and miracles in his own hometown. It was unbelief through over-familiarity. They couldn't see the real Jesus. They let their past experience control their present and their future. And so I've got to ask the question, can you, can I, can we see the real Jesus? Despite our genuine friendship with him, despite our intimacy with him, do you see just a mate, or do you still see Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the all-powerful one, the one through whom all things were created? Good. We can come into God's presence with boldness, but we've got to have that fear of God with us, that reverential awe of who he is and what he is. We need to receive new eyes to see the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. If we really saw the real Jesus, you and I wouldn't dare to not believe. The miracle-working Jesus, who is just exactly the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Isn't that just awesome? Isn't that an encouragement? I get fueled up on that sort of thing. That's how it was. But you know, the very next verse, verse 10 assures us, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So those of us who really do know him have had it revealed to us what God has prepared for us, because we do love him, we do love and know our Jesus. So you hold on to what Jesus has revealed to you about you and your life and the calling on you, because that is from God and it will come to pass. Our prayers. I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I just want to try and stir our spirit up. So will you follow me as I pray? Come, Holy Spirit. Quicken my spiritual eyes. Let me see things beyond my natural seeing. Let me hear things beyond my natural hearing. Let me understand and know things beyond my natural mind. My imagining and my thinking. Let us have the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear and see and speak and do the mighty things of our God. Enlarge my capacity to perceive spiritual things. Allow me to see the hidden things of God. The miracles of God. The things you are doing and will do in and through me and around me. The miracles you, O God, have reserved for me and this church. Amen. Miracles are not often understood by people because they transcend our natural understanding. They are supernatural. They lay beyond our natural scope and senses. They defy the laws of nature. They defy everything that we could think of, the things that govern our world. They are God doing his things on earth exactly as they are done in heaven. You know, God speaks and it happens. The earth was created because God spoke it into being. That is awesome. It's unimaginable for us. Augustine said this of our faith: faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we believed for. Paul said this in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But in Mark 9:23, Jesus said it this way: if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Can you believe God for that? Can you take Jesus at his word for that? Jesus challenged his disciples about the miraculous. And in fact, he gave them seven challenges were placed before them. And I believe these are the same challenges for us in our day and in our generation. And those seven challenges are found in Matthew 10, verses 7 to 8. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Seven, as you go. In life, as you go from this place, you have a responsibility in the miraculous. You have to respond believingly, and sometimes you have to act as well. So my encouragement is get up off your tush and go search out where a miracle is needed. You won't have to go far. That's a dead cert. And trust God, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, to do something about it in faith. The second thing he said was, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wherever you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're in the kingdom of heaven. Wherever you go, there is the kingdom of heaven. Do you wonder why you get funny responses sometimes from people you bump into in the street? It's because the spirit in them just recognized the spirit in you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have to clearly state from whom this miracle comes. You've got to be proclaiming his power and his authority, not your own. You have to be giving the reason for the hope that is in you, encouraging others about Jesus, about his kingdom, and about his saving grace. And the miracle often is they listen to you. That's a miracle in this day and age. Third thing he said, heal the sick. He did not say try to. He didn't say you've got to do a 6-year Bible study course on this. He didn't say you had to go to Healers International. Actively engage in the ministry of healing and accomplishing it through faith. It's faith that pleases God and draws his activity into your life and your circumstances. We can do a lot of things, but God says, if you want to please me, it's faith. Without faith, we're not pleasing God. The fourth thing he said is the dead. Would everyone stand up, please? Good, mission accomplished, sit down. <You're right. Fifth thing he said, cleanse the lepers. Now, I find this one interesting. Cleanse means to literally purge and purify them. And sometimes some of my preaching is like a spiritual laxative. It purges, I hope. We're not to balk from the possibility of being tainted by the grossest and most reviling of needs, but we're to go into those situations believing we won't be harmed, excuse me, just as Jesus said, and they will be cleansed. You know, leprosy was a disease that isolated people from society. We don't have much leprosy in Victoria. We have a little bit in Australia, but it's pretty well controlled here. But it's breaking out through lack of attention in other parts of the world. It's a disease that isolates people. We have forms, though, of leprosy in a sense. Diseases in our modern society, addictions, AIDS, people who are just stuck on government handouts and can't escape the somebody else provide for me approach to life. Homosexuality. Our job is to love them and cleanse them and purge them and just do that. Cleanse the lepers. Cleanse them. They're acceptable in this place. Sixth thing he said is cast out devils. I want to tell you a secret from years in ministry. You will never talk a demon to death. You will never negotiate a truce with a demon. You will never persuade one to leave. You don't need to know his name. Sometimes that might be helpful, but you don't need to know his name. You just need to drive it out by his power, his authority, and his name. The challenge is not how loud you can hoop, holler, or shout. The challenge is to just trust in the veracity of that name, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we cast you out. Seventh thing, freely you have received, freely give. If you don't realize that church, the church is not for profit. You have freely received from the Lord, freely give. Because when you do, God pours more back into you than you can ever give out. In God's economy, you receive and prosper more as you give and share more. It's not logical. It's not something you can analyze. It's not mathematical. It's just miraculous. You will do far more with 90% than 100%. People worry so much about their tithe. And I'm thinking, what on earth worries you about that? And I said, well, you know, should I tithe on what my real pay is or what I actually get after tax? And I said, well, do you want the net blessing or the gross blessing? You know, what? God says first. And I promise you, you will find that as you honour God with that holy portion, because he describes it as a holy portion. If you honour God with that holy portion, your 90% will do far more than 100% ever achieved before. So I want to call all of us, the entire church, I want to move us to feel moved into a season of personal fasting and prayer. So folks, don't give up your medications. Don't stop everything. This is personal. This isn't, I'm not laying out to the church what you have to do or don't do. I'm just saying whatever constitutes a fast for you in this season and in your condition, I'm just saying let's as a church get close to God. Let's really set ourselves into prayer and fasting, of moving out in faith, of encouraging an atmosphere for divine intervention. A real atmosphere where God knows that there is a genuine people here in his body that want to see the hand of God move. Psalm 57 verse 2 says, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. That is, fulfills his purposes for me in and through me, not gimme, 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 God, because you have to. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And the meaning is that if you are willing to submit to God and his call upon your life, if you're willing to cooperate with God in his divine purposes for your life, then nothing will prevent anything God has appointed for you from coming to pass, and nothing will thwart God's divine purposes for your anointed life. Nothing. Yes, we need patience for miracles. We need patience with ourselves and patience with God. But patience doesn't mean passive. You know, when you wait on the Lord, doesn't mean that you sit around doing nothing. When a waiter is waiting on your table, he is a busy man. Be busy in the things of the kingdom. I want us to be patient, but I want us to be persistent. And I want us to be positive. And I want us to persevere. And I want us to grow our faith as we position ourselves for that miraculous. If God's ordained a miracle here, it's no point being over there. You're going to miss it. If God's got a word for you from some visiting prophet in church, it's no good being at home. It's meant for you here. Patience is a faith attitude. It's standing your ground. It's like the little boy who was told to sit down by his teacher. And he's sitting there and he's sitting there and he's sitting there. And the teacher says, well, thank goodness you sat down. And he said, but I am standing up on the inside. That sort of faith. We've got to stand up on the inside. Never forsake the principles and the foundations of God. And in fact, it is those very principles and the value of God's word to us that generates this extreme desire to see and be right in the midst of God's power at work. I want supernatural answers. I want supernatural solutions. I want supernatural provisions. And my God meeting every possible, impossible need from his riches in glory. Because that's the supernatural life. That's the life that we're called to. There are things that I can do, and I do them. But when it comes to God getting involved, wow, I want to see God at work. When it's so obviously God, because it's so way out of proportion to what I could do or you could do, that really means he'll have the glory. C.S. Lewis had this to say in his book, Weight of Glory. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the gospel, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Isn't that awesome? I get challenged by that. The first church was a church of the supernatural. And I love the book of Acts, but I don't want to live back in Acts 1 to 28. I believe we are Acts 29. I believe we're the next chapter. And I believe that God has a purpose for this church to live there. Spiritual life, their Christian life accordingly. We believe God is in the business of restoring and perfecting the church to be the glorious bride of Christ. And this church has got a belief for this power. It was natural for the early church to move in the supernatural, and so it must be for us. Let me give you a couple of scriptures and then we're finished. Acts 5:12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Isn't that awesome? It was so out of this world what was happening in the church, that they were so regarded and highly regarded by the people, but sinners were too scared to join them. Acts 5:15. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. You know, I believe that a time is coming when sick people will come into the church and no one will even pray for them or land them, but the presence of God will be so powerful they'll leave healed. Acts 6:8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Acts 8, verse 6. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed, so there was great joy in that city. Acts 8:13. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Acts 9:33. Then he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. And immediately Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Acts 9:40, Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed, and turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers in the windows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. One of the purposes of what God does to bring people to him. That's just a few from a few chapters of just one New Testament book. And the release of miraculous powers through the people of God is one of the reasons the early church grew and greatly multiplied throughout the first century. Thousands witnessed miracles, thousands turned to Christ, got saved, got baptized, were added to the church. On one occasion, 3,000. What would we do if 3,000 turned up? What a problem to have. Oh, and you know, some would worry about, do we have enough car parking for them? Well, God's given us one right across the road. Who cares? Wow. We need to confess, as David confessed in Psalm 77, you are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Therefore, let us expect and let us believe for his miracles today. The Holy Spirit is ready and willing to work signs and wonders and miracles in our world. Are you? Because often all it takes is for you to go up to that individual in faith and release whatever it is that God's asked you to do. Catherine Kuhlman said, the secret to the power in the ministry is found in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I've chosen to accept the gift that Jesus left for me, and you'll never regret it if you accept the gift too. We've got to step up, church. We've got to step up to the mark, and we've got to cross the line. And the purpose of miracles is to startle lost men out of the dull dream of a sense-bound existence. Miracles act as a summons to such a man to awaken a spiritual man, to open his eyes to the spiritual appeal surrounding him and which is now addressed to him. Jesus is the great I am, and I repent of a church that's presented him as the great I was. I'm not half as interested in the miracles of Acts as I am fully interested in the miracles of today, because I serve the God of the now, the God who is and who can. The great I am that I read of in this book, the Bible, is the great I still am. I always have been and I always will be. The God of the present, the God who is able right now.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.